Let us turn back again tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And tonight we'll begin reading in verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "No, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. And one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread. I want us to notice that in these verses that I've just read, we are given a most solemn truth, a very solemn truth. In verse 30, the Lord said, Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. As I looked at that, I wanted to mention, first of all, we do not know who said that. We do not know the man's name who said these words to Eli. We do know, according to verse 27, that he was a man of God. It says in verse 27, And there came a man of God unto Eli. And we do know that he was speaking the word of the Lord, because in verse 30, we read, Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith. And that made me think of the many men and women, God's children, who have passed through this world unknown to their posterity or to history, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but their names are not recorded in the Word of God. And as far as the history books, they don't contain their names. How many men and women have served their own generation by the will of God as they lived in this world, and no one knows about them except the Lord? They honored the Lord, and the Lord has honored them. But this text, this truth is, them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now that's a truth. That's a truth that God has delivered unto us. And in these verses tonight, I want us to see that we have an example of someone who honored the Lord and was honored, and someone who despised the Lord and was lightly esteemed. First, Hannah honored the Lord. She honored the Lord. In the last two messages, we have seen how that Hannah honored the Lord. We saw how she honored the Lord first. She believed God. She believed God. When she was praying and the priest told her that she would have what she asked, we saw that she believed God, and she had been crying and weeping, and the scripture says there that she was no longer sad, which tells us she believed God. She believed the word which the priest of God had spoken unto her. That's how she honored God, first of all. She believed God. If we doubt God and distrust God, certainly we don't think we're honoring God. You know, in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us this about Abraham, how he gave glory to God. How did he give glory to God? He was strong in faith. Being strong in faith, he gave glory to God. God cannot lie, and yet many times we're guilty of unbelief. The sin which does so often beset us, isn't it? Unbelief. Doubting God, questioning God's providence, questioning God's love, doubting God. Hannah honored God, first of all. She believed God. She believed the man of God, his word, which he was in the place of God for her. That is Eli. And he told her that she would be granted her request, and she believed him. She believed the word of God. We saw how she honored the Lord. Second, we saw this last week when she brought her son Samuel to leave him there at the tabernacle with Eli. She had made a vow, and she honored God in keeping her vow. She vowed, "If you would give me a son, I will give him unto the Lord." The Lord gave her a son, and she honored the Lord in keeping that vow. I should have pointed this truth out last time, but I didn't. But I want to tonight. If you look back in chapter 1, Hannah, she gave Samuel to the Lord. We know that. She gave him to the Lord. But the point I want us to see is she only gave God what God gave her. Right? She only gave the Lord what the Lord had given to her. And that's what we read here in verse 27 of chapter 1. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition." The Lord gave her this child, this Samuel, which I asked of him. "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord." And the point I want to make, if you will, keep your places here, but look with me in 1 Chronicles. When we give our offerings to the Lord, and it is a great privilege, isn't it, to be able to give an offering to the Lord. But when we do so, what are we doing? We're only giving back a part of what he's given us. That's all we're doing. When she gave Samuel to the Lord, she was only giving back to the Lord what he had given her. And everything we have, he's given unto us. And David acknowledges this here. This is a passage I wanted us to see in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, when David is making provision for the building of the temple. David, of course, wanted to build the temple. It was in his heart to do so, but God said no. God said no because of the fact that David had been a warrior and had shed much blood. And God told David he would give him a son of peace, which is Solomon. And incidentally, both of those men, both David as a warrior and Solomon as a man of peace, they both picture to us the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He conquered our enemies, just like David conquered the enemies of the people of Israel. And Solomon reigned in peace. But here in 1 Chronicles 29, beginning with verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee." And Hannah acknowledged that in her hymn that we looked at last week. The Lord makes rich and the Lord makes poor. David said, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this thought? For all things come of thee and of thine own hand, of thine own, have we given thee." David gave gold and silver and precious stones and brass and without measure, the brass, all these materials for the temple construction. And he acknowledged, he said, we've only given what you've given unto us. And that's the way. It's such a privilege to be able to give. You know, I encourage parents, teach your children to give. When they're small, teach them to give. You know, our Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's just a truism. People that are stingy and tight-fisted, there's no place for that among God's children, really. I mean, God has given us so much. Everything we have, really. Everything. It all came from His hand. And we just give back a portion of what He gives to us. And to live in a country like we live in, where we have so much. And I know everyone in this room here tonight, we've always probably, most likely, been able to give. That's a blessing, because there are people in this world tonight who are like that woman, that widow woman our Lord watched as she cast those two mites into the offering box. And the Lord said she's given more than everyone else here. All these wealthy people, these Pharisees and Sadducees and wealthy people had come and made a big show of their giving, and this little lady gave two mites, which not much of anything, but it was everything she had. She just gave what the Lord had given her. And we see Hannah. That's the second way I see that she honored the Lord. She gave her son, Samuel, as she had promised in her oath. And then third, in her song, we looked at that song of praise in the first 10 verses of chapter 2 last week. But you cannot read that song, that hymn there, and not see that it is a hymn of praise. You know, I heard a pastor, a message a few weeks ago, and the pastor pointed this out. I had never heard this, but I've realized it, that somewhere in the 20th century, in the 1900s, the hymns that were written for believers to sing, there was a great change from singing praises to God, worshiping God, and writing things about ourselves, about men. There's been a great change. And you look in the hymn book, and I try to choose out hymns that praise the Lord, that give glory to God. And that's one reason I like that hymn we just sang, The Lord is King, to praise God. That's what we come here to do, is to worship God, to praise Him. And we know He's worthy. As David said, thine is the majesty, thine is the glory. Oh, how he praised the Lord. And that's what we want to do in our hymn singing, is praise the Lord. And we honor the Lord like that. Tell the truth. That's what I heard Scott Richardson say one time. That's how we praise God. We just tell God back what He's told us about Himself. We just tell it back to Him, what He's told us about Himself. That's how we praise Him. That's how we honor Him. And Hannah honored the Lord. We see that at least in those three ways. Tonight, in the verses that we read, we see how the Lord honored Hannah. You know, in her hymn of praise, verse 5, she said, the barren hath borne seven. Now, in verse 21, we read that Hannah, counting Samuel, was given six children. And I thought, well, what about that number seven there in verse 5? In verse 5, she said, the barren hath borne seven. She had six. But you know, the number seven is a number of completeness, isn't it? In the Scriptures, it stands for completeness. And that was her complete children. Six. She had six children. And children, the Bible says, are an heritage of the Lord. She had three more sons and two daughters. And when I think about God honoring Hannah, I also believe that we can see how the Lord honored Hannah in giving her such a son as Samuel. My, what mother, what Christian mother would not love to have a son like Samuel, Everything we read about him. I want you to notice these three verses here in these verses that we read that speak to us about Samuel. Notice in verse 11, it says, Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. In other words, he's just a small young person, and he's under the supervision of Eli. And Eli said, do this. He did that. He ministered unto the Lord, as it says there, before Eli the priest. He needed someone to teach him, didn't he? Needed someone to guide him, as children do. But notice down further in verse number 18, we read, but Samuel ministered before the Lord. Doesn't mention Eli in this verse, does it? At first, he was under the guidance of Eli, doing what Eli instructed him to do. But as he learned, as he ministered under the Lord, then he didn't need Eli. He knew what he was to do, to minister under the Lord. And then look down to verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now, when I read that, I could not help but think of that passage in Luke chapter 2 of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when he went up to Jerusalem with his mother and Joseph, and they started home, and he stayed behind. And after a day's journey, they realized he wasn't in their company. They go back. Where did they find him? They find him in the midst of the doctors, speaking and talking to the doctors. That means those who learned in the law of God, those who had studied the law of God. And that's where we have his first recorded words when he answered his mother, Mary, and said, dost thou not know that I must be about my Father's business? His whole life, he was about his Father's business, wasn't he? Amen. God, his Father. What was that business? It was to obey the law of God perfectly. It was to bring in an everlasting righteousness. It was to make an end of sin. It was to seal up prophecy. All the promises and the prophecies concerning the Messiah were all fulfilled by him being about his Father's business. But the point I wanted to make is the last verse in that chapter. Now, he's just 12 years of age. I don't know how old Samuel was there at that point. But the scripture there says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And that's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, isn't it? Now, he who is God, God manifest in the flesh, how it could be said about him that he increased in wisdom and in favor with God. Now, we can see how he increased in stature, how he naturally would grow from an infant to a young man. But to increase in wisdom, he who is wisdom personified. We know this is speaking of his humanity as a man. How men can read the Word of God and fail to see that the Savior, the Messiah, is both God and man.
Yeah.
It amazes me how anyone could read the scriptures and not see that the Lord Jesus Christ and his two natures, God and man, they're not mixed. They're not fused together. No, he joined to his deity, that body that was prepared him of God the Holy Spirit, so that he is fully God and fully man. And so he could and did increase his humanity in stature and, yes, even in wisdom and in favor with God and man.
Yeah.
Now, I want us to look at another example of some who honored God. The scripture says, them that honor me, that's what the Lord said here. Them that honor me, I will honor. Hannah honored the Lord, didn't she? Amen. Stay with me now. Hannah honored the Lord, and the Lord honored Hannah. Now, she's not the only one in the scriptures that honored the Lord and the Lord honored. There are many examples. I wanted to call our attention to this one in the book of Daniel. We're all familiar with the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look here in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16 of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, we want you to know this. If it's God's will to deliver us, he's able. We want you to know that first of all. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Can you imagine that? The soldiers who threw them into the furnace themselves were killed because of the heat. And there in the presence, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego of the king, and there's that furnace that's just heated up to no telling what degree, and they let the king know. I mean, they honor God, don't they? That's all you can say. They honor the Lord in their speech. We want you to know this, O king. Our God whom we serve is able. There's nothing he cannot do. He's not limited in any way. Not the God that we serve. Not the God of our salvation. He's able, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. If it's his will for us to be thrown into that fire and our life to end in doing so, we will be delivered from your hand. We want you to know that. Either way, we're going to be delivered.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we pray for people that are very sick and close to death, and they tell us sometimes, well, I'm going to be better either way. Either I'm going to be better with the Lord, or I'm going to get better physically.
That's right.
One or the other is going to take place here. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Did they not honor the Lord? Did they not honor him? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. You know the rest of the story, how they were delivered. And when they came up out of that burning fiery furnace, there was not even the smell of fire. Wasn't even the smell of fire on their clothes. All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel. Ooh, 1 Samuel. And hurriedly, let's look at a person who did not honor the Lord. And that person, of course, is Eli. Eli, I have no doubt that he was a believer, that he was a true believer, a righteous man. But in the matter with his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, he did not honor the Lord. His sons were evil. They were wicked. They did not know the Lord, verse 12 says. That doesn't mean they didn't know that there is a God. All men know that. But they did not know the Lord. They had no fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They didn't fear the Lord. Now, they were naturally made priests because they were Eli's sons. And that's just the way it was under that old dispensation. They became priests because they were born of Eli. But they were covetous. They were covetous. They were not content with what God provided for them through the offerings. And their sin in disobeying the law of God, it was great, their sin. It was great, but it was even greater because they caused the people of God not to want to offer unto the Lord. To abhor, the scripture here says in verse 17, that because of their conduct, because of the way they lived, their actions, they caused the people of Israel to abhor the offering of the Lord. What Eli did, in verse 23, it said, he said, why do you such things? Listen, he should have done a whole lot more than that. That wasn't good enough just to say, why are you doing this? No, he knew what they were doing. What he should have done was put them out of the priesthood. They were not worthy to be priests. He was a high priest. He had that authority. He should have put them out of the priesthood. But God says he honored his sons above himself. That is, he honored his sons above God. That's what it says in verse 29. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Above me. You know what God called that? What God says about him honoring his sons above God, despising the Lord. Yeah. Look at that in verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me. That's what they were guilty of. Despising the Lord by honoring their sons above God. And you know, I looked at this just a few minutes ago before I came to make sure about this. It came to my mind after I'd already prepared these notes. But that's the very same thing that God told David concerning his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. God said, you've despised me. You've despised me. There's other examples in the Word of God, of course. But how did this turn out for Eli? God said in that passage, there are they that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. How did it turn out for Eli? Well, we know that in one day, Hophni and Phinehas were killed. Those sons that he honored more than he honored God, they were both killed in one day. And the office of high priest would pass out of the family of Eli. And still be in the family of Aaron. Remember, Aaron had four sons. God killed two the day the tabernacle was put up. He did. God killed those two sons because they offered strange fire before the Lord. That left him with two sons. And Eli was a descendant of one of those sons. But later on, the priesthood will be taken from that line to the other line, but still Aaron's sons. What a lesson is given unto us in this matter. We must honor the Lord above all, above everyone, above everything, or we will be guilty of despising the Lord. That's a serious charge, isn't it? It really is. We must honor him above everyone, everything. God, give us the grace to do so. Amen. Okay.